Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100. I think that in reading and studying on the subject of Thanksgiving this week, that I have seen that the 100th Psalm has had a profound influence on some of the writers of the New Testament. I may be wrong, but there's a very strong parallel between some of the teachings in the 100th Psalm, and especially Paul's writings, some of the things that we're commanded to do in Psalm 100, Paul groups this same series of commands in several of the letters to the churches that he wrote to. You look in your Bibles now at Psalm 100, the Word of God says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." I'd never noticed, or at least it hadn't stood out to me until this week. All ye lands, everybody, all over this world, every nation, every people, they're commanded to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. My daddy loved to sing as much as anybody. He loved to hear good singing. He could not carry a tune. But he said, when some of us would talk to him about not singing on key or hitting the right notes, he would say, "All God tells me I've got to do is make a joyful noise to the Lord." And I'm glad God said that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Everybody here, we've been given voices, we have vocal cords, and we ought to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord. We ought to be happy. There's nobody on this earth that ought to be happier than every one of us. We ought to be full of joy, and we ought to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord, giving praise to God, worshiping Him, lifting up our voices and singing praises to God. So the first command in Psalm 100 is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Second command, verse 2, serve the Lord. So he tells us to sing, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Then he says, now serve the Lord with gladness. You see, he says, make a joyful noise. And then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Brethren, if you're not happy, if you're not rejoicing in the Lord, if you're not full of joy, you're not close to God. I believe with all of my heart that when God's people are close to God, they're going to be full of joy and gladness. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Singing. Every day, wherever you are, especially when you're alone, I encourage you to sing. I encourage you to sing because it is one of the special ways that God has given us to draw nigh to God. Now, right before James says, draw nigh to God, he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One of the ways that you can, and I think it's probably one of the most effective ways, that you can resist the devil, when the devil's trying to get you down, discouraged, despondent, you can resist the devil by singing and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. It'll do two things when you're really singing and serving the Lord with gladness. It will drive the devil away, and it'll help you to draw close to God. You remember when the evil spirits would come on King Saul in the Old Testament, and he would call for David, and David would begin to play the harp, and the evil spirits were driven away by that music. Now, there's a lot of music that invites the devil into your heart and mind, and I want to encourage everybody here that you not let your children listen to the wrong kinds of music, and above all, that you not ever be listening to music that you ought not to be listening to, but there's good music, wonderful music. So he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You can go into the presence of God when you're singing songs of praise to God. Come before His presence. Be in God's presence. I'm not talking about dying and going to heaven. I'm talking about being in God's presence right now. Come before His presence with singing. And then he says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We belong to God. We're bought with a price. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And remember that it is God that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. We belong to God. And we need to thank God we do belong to him. And we don't deserve to belong to him, but God has bought us with the price of the blood of his precious son. You're precious to God. Sometimes when I talk to someone that's discouraged, I say, I want you to know that you're very valuable. I want you to know that you're precious. I want you to know that you are important. And they say, well, I just don't feel important. I say, well, you are important, or Jesus would not have died for you on the cross of Calvary. That's what makes you special. That's what makes you important. That's what makes you precious, is that you're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You belong to God. You're God's sheep. And then in verse 4, he gives you another command now. He said in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He said in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And then in verse 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now the main thought in verse 4 is being thankful to God and giving thanks to God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, I think there are a lot of different ways that you can understand that expression, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I think, first of all, brethren, that as we think about us coming into the house of God, every time we come into the house of God, before you ever come to the house of God, you're supposed to be giving thanks to God. And then as you come into the house of God, you are to enter into his gates, enter into the house of God, enter into his house, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Every one of us, before we came in this morning, we should have been giving thanks to God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving when you come into the house of God. There's another way we enter into his gates: when we go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. So whether I'm entering to worship, I need to be giving thanks then. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. But when I go to God's throne of grace, I need to, every time I go before his throne, I'm entering into his gates, and I need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. We need to be expressing thanks to God, giving thanks. Give thanks out loud. Thank him daily. When you're praying, thank him. When you're worshiping, thank him. When you're thinking, thank God. Be thinking about God and be thanking God. And when you're serving God, be thankful while you're serving God. That will motivate you to serve the Lord with gladness when you're thinking about. I believe this. Listen carefully. To the same degree that you are thankful, to that degree you will be worshiping and serving God. The more thankful you are for the blessings that you have in your life, the more thankful you are, the more you're going to be worshiping God. The more thankful that you are, the more that you're going to be serving God. So when you do what the Word of God says in Psalm 100 verse 4, when you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, when you are really thankful unto him, you will be then glad to do. That'll make you glad, won't it? Just counting your blessings. Does counting your blessings make you happy? I was trying to email someone this morning that's very discouraged and despondent. And one of the things that I asked her to do was, I said, while we are worshiping this morning, I want you to be worshiping in your home. And you're unable to be in the house of God. I want you to be sitting there, and I want you to be praising God in your home. And I want you to be writing down things that you're thankful for. Write down the things that you're thankful for that God has already done for you in the past. Count your many blessings. Think about all God has done for you. But then think about what God is doing right now. God has blessed every one of us today. The Bible says in Psalm 68:19 that the Lord, what? What's the next word? Daily. loadeth us with benefits. Loadeth us with benefits. Loadeth us with benefits. Today, already, God has loaded you with benefits and blessings. And I'm afraid that sometimes, in spite of all that God's doing for us, we're not thankful. Someone sent me an email this week that said it was a story about two men that were, and I have trouble telling stories, I hope to get back to this, but it was a beautiful lesson. Two old friends met, and one of them looked very happy and the other one looked very sad. And the one that was very happy looked at the one that looked very sad and he said, "Why are you so sad?" He said, "Well, 4 weeks ago, I had a cousin that died and left me $40,000. And he said, "That made you sad?" And he said, "Well, 3 weeks ago, I had a great uncle that died and he left me $120,000. He said, "And that's the reason you're sad?" And he said, "Well, last week, my friend died and left me $250,000. And he said, "And you're sad? You're unhappy? You've gotten all these blessings?" He said, "Well, I haven't gotten anything this week yet." Now, you know, we can sit back and think, my goodness, that guy's crazy. He's gotten all these blessings and he's unhappy because he doesn't see what he's already got right now. Listen, brethren, there's not a one of us here that's not very similar to that man that I just described. When you're sad, when you're discouraged, when you're despondent, you're not looking at all you've gotten. You're looking at what? Well, I don't see anything I've gotten this week. Shame on us when we're not thankful. That man getting $40,000 and $120,000 and then $250,000. Brethren, that money that he got was a blessing, but it was nothing compared to the blessings that that man had received and that you have received this week and last week and every day. Did all of you see how unthankful that man was that I just described that was unhappy? Did you see how unthankful he was? Did it come out glaringly? My goodness, what's wrong with that man? My goodness. You remember what Nathan said to David? "You are that man. Thou art the man. Thou art the man." That was what I felt when I read that. First I laughed and then I thought, unthankful, unthankful. You know what you're going to be doing if you're really thankful? You're going to be full of joy. You're going to be making a joyful noise to the Lord. You're going to be saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings I have right now. Thank you for all the blessings you've given me. I'm going to make a joyful noise to the Lord, and I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness. I'm going to be thankful that I have the privilege to serve the one who has given me every blessing that I have. Every blessing that I have. It's God that's done those things for you. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Your friends might give you something. It's God that gave you those friends. And it gave them, it's God that moved in them to give you something. It's God. Every blessing you have comes from God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful. Give thanks to God. Look at Psalm 105, verse 1. Psalm 105, listen to verses 1 and 2 there. Psalm 105, I just want to just boom, 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 hit a few of the mountaintops here in Psalm 105, 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Give thanks. Are you thankful? If you are thankful, you will be giving thanks. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." Do you hear what he's telling us to do? Make known his deeds among the people. There are some people, I have some friends that almost every time I talk to them, you know what they do? They say, "You know, the Lord has been mighty good to me. The Lord has been mighty good to me." Now, if you're a thankful person, you're going to make known his deeds among the people. You're going to be telling people how good the Lord has been to you. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Tell others about the wondrous works of God. Psalm 106, verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Give thanks unto the Lord because he's good. That doesn't say be thankful unto God and give thanks to God just because he's been good to you. Be thankful unto God because he is good, period, exclamation point. Just because God is good, give thanks unto him. He is good, and he's good to us, but he's good, and give thanks unto the Lord because he is good. We go to a lot of other psalms. I'm not going to do that right now, but I want you to go to the New Testament now. I want you to see how I think, and I've never noticed this before, to just all of a sudden the light came on. Ephesians. Turn in your Bibles to the New Testament. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to see in Ephesians and Philippians and some of the letters the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches that I think this 100th Psalm, if you don't already know the 100th Psalm by heart, I encourage you to learn it by heart. Every child here ought to know the 100th Psalm. Every adult here ought to know the 100th Psalm. You know, need to know the 23rd Psalm. You need to memorize Scripture. You need to know it. You need to be able to recite Scripture over and over. There ought to be a lot of Scriptures that you know by heart. You ought to know, I don't care how much you already know, you ought to know more than you know about God's Word. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5, listen, beginning in verse 18. The Apostle Paul writing to the saints of God at Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus, he says, Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now he's talking about you, me, us, being filled with the Spirit. You, be filled with the Spirit. Now here's what he tells you to do. There's not a period at the end of verse 18. There's a colon. And then he tells you three ways for you to be filled with the Spirit. The first one he says in verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Is that how you can be filled with the Spirit? Be filled with the Spirit by doing what? Well, let's see now. What did Psalm 100 say? What's the first thing it said in Psalm 100? "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Make a joyful noise. What's he saying here? Be filled with the Spirit. How do you be filled with the Spirit? How can I be filled with the Spirit? "Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart," making melody in your heart to the Lord. Then in verse 20 says, "Giving thanks." Well, now what did Psalm 100 say back there? Verse 20 is telling you now another step in you being filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third thing he tells you in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, the main thing I wanted you to see here is that if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you need to be singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Second thing you must be doing is you must be giving thanks. To the same degree that you are thankful, you're going to be singing, making melody in your heart. You're going to be giving thanks. You're going to be submitting yourselves one to another to the same degree that you're thankful. So if you're not singing and if you're not thankful, I mean, if you're not singing and if you're not serving God and if you're not submitting yourselves one to another, it's because you are not, fill in the blank, because you're not thankful. It's because you're not thankful. Philippians, turn a couple of pages past where we're reading right now. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Word of God says, "Be careful for nothing," that means don't worry. Well, Jesus explains that very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the necessities of life will be provided for you." He says here, "Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." Anybody see anything I left out? Anything? It sounds good the way I said it, but that's not what the Scripture says. It doesn't just say for you to let your requests be made known unto God. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Do you see? What do you need to be doing while you're praying and asking God for all the blessings that you need? Do you need to ask God for the blessings you need? Yes. In the example prayer Jesus gave us, he says that we need to be praying, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Is that asking God for things? Yes. But in all your asking, in everything, give thanks. And then what will happen? Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be thankful. Be thankful, and guess what you'll have? You'll have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. If you're a thankful person, if you don't have the peace of God, if I don't have the peace of God, I'm not thankful. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians, a couple of pages past this. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen again now to the framework that's set forth in Psalm 100 that we know ought to know by heart. That framework is kind of a picture of what I need to do and what I need to be in my life. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Now listen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16. Rejoice evermore. What does that remind you of in Psalm 100? Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Enter into His gates with what? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to be giving thanks. And the more we're thankful, the more we're going to be serving God and worshiping God. Listen very carefully. Everybody listen. If your service to God, if your worship of God is declining, it is because you are not thankful. If your service to God is increasing, it's because you're thankful. John says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. I have no greater joy. And he wasn't talking about his blood kin there. As your pastor, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. And the more that you are thankful, the more you realize how good God is to you every day, and the more you feel gratitude to God for that, it's going to show in your life. It will. You cannot be thankful and it not show. And so when you see somebody that their light's shining, guess what else is also there? Guess what's at the root of it? Thankful. Thankful, thankful. They're thankful, and that brings forth fruit. Thanksgiving will lead to thanks living. That's a statement that's often stated, but I want all of you to remember that. That thanksgiving leads to thanks living. I look forward to getting to heaven, and Jesus just, I don't know if there's going to be preaching there, but I want to sit there all the time. I want to hear a sermon finished. We're never going to finish when we get to glory, you understand? But I would love to finish a sermon that I preach sometime. I'd love to, like Brother McKinley Wright says, I'd love to preach it like it is. I'd love to get it all out one time. Let me just say this in closing. Listen carefully. You go home and read this in your Bibles if you want to be motivated to do better. You go home and read Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 8. Because the nation of Israel was not thankful. God had warned them to be thankful, but they were not thankful. He told them when you have houses and you have land and you have food and you have everything that you could want, he says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God. You know what we've had? You know what happened to Israel back there? They forgot God. God gave them everything they could ever want, and they forgot God. Do you know what's happened in the United States of America? God has opened up the windows of heaven and poured out more blessings than we could ever have, ever hope to have. People, kings have died and never had the blessings that we have in America today. I'm talking about common people have today.
We have so much.
And we have done exactly what God warned the children of Israel not to do. We have forgotten God. We've cast Him aside. We've cast His laws aside. What about a church? Can a church stop being thankful? I don't think there's a one of us here that's as thankful as we ought to be for the church. And I don't think there's one of us here that are as thankful as we ought to be for the truth. I don't think there's a one of us here that's as thankful as we ought to be for Jesus Christ. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there are letters to the churches. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, he said, after he talked about what they had done that was good, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Do you remember that? Thou hast left thy first love. Anybody here, do you ever leave your first love? Do you ever leave God? Do you ever walk away from Him? Oh, I know none of us would do that intentionally. None of us would willingly, thinking about it, do it, but it happens. We get away from God. We leave our first love. And how wonderful it is that Jesus will come to us and say, repent, repent, return to your first love, or else I'll come and I'll remove your candlestick. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, 16, 17, he writes to the saints of God in the church at Laodicea, and he said, you're not hot, you're not cold. Anybody here have a friend like that? Have a friend? It's not hot, not full of zeal. Oh, but I'm not cold. No, you're lukewarm. And what did Jesus say to that church at Ephesus? Laodicea? He said, because thou art lukewarm. Do you know what causes lukewarmness? Do you know why that I am sometimes lukewarm? All of you say it together. I'm not what? I'm not thankful. Leads to lukewarmness. If you're lukewarm, you're not thankful as you ought to be. God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'll spit you out. God doesn't put up with lukewarmness. Half-hearted service to God may make you feel good. God's not pleased. I want us as a nation, I want us as a church, I want us as individuals to be more thankful. Now, I can't change our nation. I can change me. Did everybody hear what I just said? I can change me. I can be more thankful. In fact, I'm going to go a little further than that. I can change me and my house. How many of you had daddies that said, as long as you put your feet under my table, you'll do what I say? Anybody here have daddies like that? Long as you put your feet under my, and that's the way it's supposed to be, brethren. That's your house. All you men are supposed to be spiritual leaders, and your house should do what you say. Here's what Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what? You know what was at the root of Joshua's feelings? You know what was down in there that he doesn't even specifically talk about right there? What was in Joshua? A thankful heart. He was thankful, and so he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You read about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. You know what Cornelius did? Cornelius and all of his household, they worshiped God. You know what that jailer did in Acts chapter 16? That jailer and all of his household, they served the Lord. They worshiped God. You might not can change the world, but by the grace of God and with the help of God, you can change your life. And you can enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You can be thankful unto Him. You can, because of that, you will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You will serve the Lord with gladness. I pray that God will help us today. This season that we call Thanksgiving, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to make a commitment to do anything. No, you don't want to make a commitment to serve God, but you'll make a commitment to buy a house. You'll sign on the dotted line to buy a house. You'll make a commitment to buy a car. You'll sign on the dotted line to buy a car. You'll make a commitment to do all kinds of things. Oh, but when it comes to serving God, I don't want to get that serious about religion. Well, it's time for us to get serious. And if you're thankful, we will be serious about serving the Lord. May God help us to be thankful. May God help us to have a thankful heart. May God help us to see the Lord has been so good to me, and I need to be more thankful. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.